You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello, welcome to The Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave, and we are the football dudes. Dave, are you ready, bro?
You got that right, my friend.
It is an area in which we call The Trend Zone. And in today's episode, we'll talk about some Hurts feelings in Philadelphia, a little jockeying for playoff positions in the AFC and the NFC, the battle for the undefeated season, or the perfect season, I should say, a little Survivor, fantasy go back starts of the week, and of course, some of the most awesome games from the upcoming week. But Dave, you know we don't go into the zone without the dank nugs, bro. Lay it on the people.
All right, Casey, you got it. Last week, 11 of the 14 games were within one score in the fourth quarter. 9 of the 14 games were decided by 6 points or fewer. And 3 games were won with a second-half comeback of at least 10 points, man. Just another weekend at the office for the National Football League. This is besides COVID, the story of the season is these comeback wins every week, man.
Oh, man, it is awesome, and it leaves us on the edge of our seat for about 12 to 14 hours every Sunday. And we absolutely love it. Dave, all right, a quest of perfection, dude. Both games looked like perfection was over, and it was for one team but not for the other.
Yeah. How about the Jets finding a way with a massive zero coverage blitz to lose a game in the final seconds to the Raiders that they had won. That's really, really striving for perfection, Casey. Got to give it credit to the Jets, bro.
Oh, yeah, and how about the text we got with about 15 seconds left in that game from Jet fan that was like, oh, this is what I dreamed my Jets could be all season.
And then we texted back, that's exactly what we thought they were.
Oh, yeah. So no popping corks for the 2008 Detroit Lions. But, Dave, those 1972 Miami Dolphins were drinking scotch and smoking cigars.
Yeah, that's right. These Steelers aren't even in their neighborhood, Casey. They're not in their front lawn. They're not in their zip code. None of that, as the Steelers came up short in the primetime game. And, man, it's just I didn't think they were going to get there, Casey, but this one I didn't think they were going to drop, you know.
Yeah, man, a huge win for the football team. We'll talk about them in a little bit. But, Dave, we are going to start in the NFC East, and I mentioned it, some Hurts feelings
in
Philadelphia.
That is right, man. It's Hurts. Jalen Hurts, the rookie, expected to get his first career start on Sunday. And you wondered why they picked this guy in the second round when they've got a young quarterback. But they liked him, Casey, and now here he is going to be out there. He's going to be the sixth rookie quarterback to start a game this season. That'll mark the fifth consecutive season that at least six rookie quarterbacks have started one game. So that's the longest streak ever since the Super Bowl era.
And he's going up against the Saints, Dave, and maybe this was a move not to completely break a partially broken Carson Wentz.
Yeah,
I mean, don't think it's going to be good for Jalen Hurts against that Saints defense that is playing maybe the best defense in football right now.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been good for Carson either. So maybe you help bridge that, but you can't deny the energy that Jalen brought to the field last week.
Yeah, he provided a spark. They responded. They didn't quite get it done, but gotta like what you see there. So,
and speaking of those Saints, Dave, a little good news there and in Kansas City.
Yeah, both Saints and Chiefs clinching playoff berths, Casey. That's 4 seasons in a row for the Saints, 6 seasons in a row for the Chiefs. Both these franchises, obviously, excellent run franchises from top to bottom, and with Hall of Fame quarterbacks down the road, you know.
Yeah, and they're both sitting there trying to get to that one seed in the NFC and the AFC. All right, Dave, you're going to be able to get through this right here, bro.
This is a tough segment for me.
All right, teams that have been eliminated. Pour some out for the homies.
Yeah, it's our Los Angeles Chargers and the Cincinnati Bengals. They join the Jaguars and the Jets as teams that are officially mathematically eliminated. The good news about those two bad teams in the Chargers and Bengals is they've got their quarterbacks of the future in place, even though Burrow's going to have a little recovery in front of them. Both those teams pretty happy with the rookies they got going.
Yeah, I don't see the Cowboys on that list, but I'm guessing they're going to be there shortly, dude. Just got to show a little bit of patience there.
Yeah, you know, easy now, Case. You'll get there.
All right, we talked about how crazy the games are each and every week, yeah. Dude. The playoff situation in the AFC is actually bonkers, bro.
Dude, especially with the lineups for the games this weekend, you do not want to miss this action. The Steelers, the number one seed, they'll be facing the Buffalo Bills, the 3 seed on Sunday Night Football. How about the Chiefs, the 2 seed? And they'll be going to Miami to play the 6 seed Dolphins. The Browns, the 5 seed, will be hosting the 9 seed Ravens on Monday night for a huge playoff implications game. And then what about the number 7 Colts visiting the number 8 Raiders, dude? Unbelievable. Only the 4th seeded Titans, who play the Jags, aren't facing another playoff contender. This is crazy, crazy lineups, dude.
Oh, great scheduling, and yep. It's going to be an awesome weekend of football, and we actually get 6 afternoon games, which we're completely stoked about. So it's going to be rad. But Dave, let me go ahead and talk about my NFC East division mates for a second. This has been the most ridiculed division in all of football, but don't
rightfully
look now
so.
Because rightfully so, true. But now you look at what the Giants are doing. Dude, they've won 4 of 5, and that defense is lights out. They went into Seattle and beat the crap out of a Seahawks team, which a couple weeks ago was heading straight to the Super Bowl. So, impressive win. I love what Joe Judge is doing there. He's got that defense playing solid, and they did this with Colt McCoy, not even with Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley. They're finding a way to win some grimy games, and you got to appreciate it. But, Dave, it's not often I show love for the Washington football team, but how can you not love Alex Smith and what he's doing for that squad, bro?
Oh, dude, what an incredible story Alex Smith has been, and his comeback and the fact that he's out there leading that squad is just absolutely amazing, dude.
Yeah, he's gone 3-1 in his 4 starts, 3 straight wins, and guess what? They're going to play the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. Wouldn't that be a little sweet revenge against the former team there? Tasty.
Nice.
There's just like little tastiness all over this week in football. But it's just so great for Alex Smith, man.
Yeah.
You know, they got rid of that racist name. They're trying to get rid of the little general Dan Schneider. Ron Rivera's beating cancer, dude. They are turning their karma around.
Yeah.
And that will be a fun story in the playoffs. It's just hard not to root for Alex Smith, dude. He's such a great guy and has been through so much.
No kidding.
Just stoked for that, dude.
Absolutely
okay, I'm
stoked.
Done gushing about football team. They can
you
go to
love
hell
the
now,
Redskins.
Dave. Let's talk about their 3 strikes pool, Dave. We're still alive.
Oh, yeah, both of us were squirming pretty good last week as we both had the Raiders to beat the Jets. Luckily, we sent a little thank you note out to Greg Williams for that all-out blitz he called there as we somehow were, you know, stoked at the end of that in that last 7 seconds. Unbelievably.
Oh, yeah, dude. And the most popular correct pick? Oh, yeah, you guessed it. The Raiders over the Jets. The most popular incorrect pick? The Seahawks over the Gigantes.
Yeah, and how about the most popular pick heading into next week?
Let me guess.
It follows a theme, Casey.
Who's playing the Jets, Dave?
That's the Seattle Seahawks that got the Jets. You don't even want to face Seattle after a terrible loss like they did, and now they're playing the Jets. I don't know how you could be more disheartened in that Jets locker room either.
All right, Dave, it's time for our fantasy go back starts of the week. The final week of the regular fantasy season, week 13. How'd you do?
Dude, my team got totally debacled by your foul boys. The lightning strikes was not striking at all. Hardly anybody hit double digits even, and it was a blowout. I got blowed out. Nothing I could have done.
Yeah, that was the 7th straight win for the foul boys that moved into the 3 seed. Although on the season we split week 1, you beat me by 32 points. And this week I beat you by 43 points, but Lightning Strikes had 48 more points on the season, just over 3 points a week.
Sweet.
And that's why you are the 1 seed. with a bye, and I am the 3 seed playing next week.
Trying to get your 8th straight win. How many in a row, Casey, does it take to win
ten,
a fantasy bowl? Right?
I think 10. Correct.
We shall meet again, my friend, for the rubber match.
Let's do it. Hey, we want to remind everybody out there, if you have any holiday shopping to do, which you probably do, and you're going to do that shopping on Amazon, before you buy anything, head over to the Football Dudes. That is footballdudes.com. Check our Amazon link. It takes you right to Amazon. It won't cost you a dime, but you might help us make a few bucks so we can buy some presents for our family.
Yeah, Casey's got a little girl, people. All right?
Yeah, and Legos are expensive.
Dang.
Oh, man. All right, Dave, let's get into the good stuff. It's week 14, my brother.
Week 14? Casey, it is truly slipping away.
It is, Dave, but you mentioned some of the great matchups we have going this week.
Yeah.
Why don't you get us started, bro?
Yeah, let's get started with the Arizona Cardinals at the New York Giants, dude. And this is a big game. These teams both need this win badly. Cardinals on the road, favored by 2.5. The over-under is 45.
Yeah, that's a little head-scratcher, the Cards being the favorites on the road. A little good news for them, though. Mm-hmm. Larry Fitzgerald is officially off the COVID list. They're hoping to get him back on the roster this week, so hopefully he can be out there and help get these Cards out of their offensive funk, Dave. Kyler, yeah. Dude, he's only averaging 4.4 yards per pass against the Rams, which was a terrible, man. This used to be a big play offense. And DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Andy Isabella, they all went without a catch in the first half of that game. Not good.
And not good.
Last week, Hopkins' yard per target, only 4, dude. 52 receiving yards on 13 targets, a season low. Granted, that was against one of the best pass defenses in the NFL, but Dave, part of that funk is lack of the chunk. I'm talking the chunk plays, and they are just missing right now for these Cardinals. In their last 3 games, the Cardinals have totaled exactly 4 plays of at least 20 yards, and guess what? They're 0-3 in those games. In their 6 wins, they were averaging over 5 plays of at least 20 yards per game. And that's where they were getting those wins. They got to figure it out, get those big explosive plays again. Yeah. Part of it's they got to get Kyler running. Only averaging 20 yards a game in this 0-3 stretch, and he only had 15 yards on the ground last week. He's so dangerous, so much of a weapon. You got to get some runs. You got to get him out of the pocket, whatever you got to do to get some of those yards built up. Man, he just eats those yards up. And they need to get Drake running more, too. And 2 of those 3 losses, Dave, only 10 and 11 carries. That's just not enough, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that's not enough running. Simple.
Yeah, and when you're throwing all the time, you're not getting first downs. That's bad news. The Cardinals in that Rams game, first half time of possession, 7 minutes and 18 seconds.
You don't do much with the ball that fast, right?
No doubt. And you're getting your defense gassed. Speaking of defense, dude, Buda Baker has been bad to the bone for these Cardinals. He leads the team in tackles. He's tied for 2nd in interceptions and tied for 3rd in sacks. A few weeks ago, Isaiah Simmons had his coming out party against the Seahawks. Kind of quiet last couple of weeks. He needs to continue that ascension we saw, be that dynamic playmaker he was at Clemson there. And where they struggled, the Cards have given up. They gave up a TD with less than 2 minutes to go before halftime. That's the 12th score this year, dude, that the Cards have allowed in the final 2 minutes of a half.
Wow, how many games have there been, right? I mean,
no,
my God.
Right? That's almost all of them. They got to clean that up. You mentioned this is a huge game for both teams. The Cardinals have lost 3 in a row, and right now they're on the outside looking in. But if they win this game on Sunday, they're going to be back into that wild card spot, passing the loser of that Vikings and Buccaneers matchup. But, Dave, the way these Giants are playing, man, that's going to be a tall order.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you, I mean, this Giants squad as hot as any team really in the NFL, I would say right now, coming off that big, impressive win in Seattle we talked about earlier. And, you know, we thought that was going to be a game that obviously they, you know, that was going to be the end of the story kind of a little bit. And boom, what a huge win. Daniel Jones not being there, you know, he's been, hanging on with that hamstring injury. It looks like, though, based on the practice from this week, that he'll be in. So they're looking towards him playing. He's just got to, you know, continue to progress without any setbacks, and he'll be
back
in.
That would be a vulgar display of power.
That would be. All right. And you know what? Hopefully, obviously, he'll be healthy enough, considering a hammy, that he'll give him that run, option, because he's very effective with his legs, kind of moving the chains. And that's a big part of, you know, his dynamic back there that makes him sort of more difficult to contain. At the receiver position, that top receiver for them is Evan Engram, you know, so it hasn't been a lot to the wide receivers. But he has been, Engram has, a real consistent contributor during this playoff push winning streak that they've been on. The other guys at receiver, Slayton, Shepard, and Tate, all three guys still sort of hit and miss from week to week. The running back, Wayne Gallman, you know, obviously these guys have gone through, some issues with injuries and stuff, but Gallman has really emerged as a solid guy. He's over 500 yards now, and he had 135 rush yards in the last game. So that is his first ever 100-yard game, but really, obviously, an ascending player. He's got 6 rushing TDs in the last 6 games. Those are the 6 that he has all year. So he's really actually, since he's been sort of inserted there as the primary back 6 games ago, he's really done a pretty good job for them. Their offense is actually second to last in the red zone in terms of scoring touchdowns. So when they get in there inside the 20, they need to find a way not to settle for 3. That's not going to bode well in the big picture if that's the trend they continue to stay with. Defensively speaking, this is a strong defense. You mentioned how well Judge has got as a good, it just seems like great coaching there. 10th in yards defensively, 9th in points, and they forced 20 turnovers on the season. That's led them to being +3 in the turnover battle. So that's a pretty solid thing. And getting after the quarterback, 32 sacks. Wow. That's pretty high up there, man. Blake Martinez back there, your guy from Oklahoma, tackling machine. And Leonard Williams comes off an awesome game last week, 2.5 sacks. He's got 8.5 on the season. He's leading the squad. This game is super important for the Giants. Obviously, they're all important in the stretch here, but next up it's Cleveland, then at Baltimore, then the last game of the season they'll be hosting Dallas. But they need to find a way to get a handful of wins in there, and there's a couple of tough games in there against some AFC powerhouses right now, teams that do not want to lose. So it's going to be some real good action this weekend.
Cannot wait. All right, Dave, up next, another huge game. We'll flip it back to the AFC, the Indianapolis Colts at the Las Vegas Raiders. The Colts are 1-point favorites on the road with an over under 51.5.
Yeah, dude. Obviously, we were there watching this Colts game last week together, yes. And we know how they kind of really escaped, kind of luckily, to finish with a 26-20 win over Houston as Houston fumbled the ball in the very, very last portion of that game, and they looked like they were ready to take the lead and take that game. Lucky to escape with the W after Reich gambled away on that fourth down,
dude,
and it didn't pay off.
Take your points.
Take the points. We say it all the time. That would have given them a nice cushion, but they didn't go for that, and it almost cost them. They were very lucky to escape. But Phillip Rivers, dude, we say it all the time. He's got to avoid the soul-crushing interception that destroys a game. And when he does that, This is a real tough team to beat because they're really balanced across the board. You know, Rivers isn't having a light up the stat sheet season, but he does have 68% passing. He's always a very high percentage passer, coming off of last week where he had 77% passing,
wow,
285 and 2 touchdowns for a 119.3 quarterback rating. That kind of play is going to make this team very difficult to beat because they can run the football and play great defense. Historically, of course, Rivers, being a Charger, had played a ton of games against the Raiders. He's got 47 TD passes. That's the most he's got against any team. So he feels pretty good, obviously, going against the Silver and Black. Lately, Casey, he's been getting T.Y. Hilton involved more. And yeah, last week was a season high, 8 catches for Hilton, as well as 110 yards, also a season high, and he got a touchdown grab too. So he's, the last 3 or 4 games, Hilton has really started to be more of a consistent weapon, which we expected him to be the whole mm-hmm. year. Zach Pascal, Michael Pittman, they round out a nice receiving group there. But let's not forget Trey Burton, the tight end. They've got a great group of tight ends too, but Trey Burton has really kind of exploited the situation in the last month or so. At running back, Hines, he leads the team with 47 catches. So He's an awesome weapon out of the backfield for Rivers. And then Jonathan Taylor, he was on that COVID list for that 1 week there, but 135 rushing yards last week. He's going for three in a row at over 110. So really kind of if they can play more consistently from week to week. If they can play like this, they can beat anybody. On defense, well-rounded, top 10 in total yards, runs, pass, and points, forced 19 turnovers. They've got 28 sacks on the season. So really a talented group defensively. DeForest Buckner, 2 sacks last week. Darius Leonard, the linebacker, is an absolute animal. And Justin Houston, dude, 3 sacks last week and a forced fumble and the safety. So
damn. Trifecta, baby.
Right? No doubt about it. This obviously is a huge, huge game with the 7th seed versus the 8th seed. This is and nobody can afford to lose this game between these two squads, Case. Talk about these Raiders, though, dude.
Yeah, dude. Last week it was all about Wall Street. Darren Waller, 13 receptions, 200 yards, and 2 touchdowns in that Raiders win. He became just the 4th tight end in history to record at least 200 receiving yards and 2 TDs in a game. But it was Carter Ruggs for that game winner. Ruggs showed off that speed and that big play ability that made the Raiders brass fall in love with him. His 46-yard touchdown was his 4th reception of at least 40 yards this year, man. And that speed is off the charts, 4-2 there. That gave Carr his 20th career fourth quarter comeback. That's a new NFL record, most by a player in their first 7 seasons. Dave, fun fact here for you. It was 50 years ago on the exact same date, December 6th, 1970, the Mad Bomber, Daryl LaMonica, throwing up the Hail Mary to Warren Wells to defeat the Jets of all teams.
What?
14-13. That was coined the last second glory, Dave.
Oh, man. We just Trippy. Relived it. We That's just right. relived it 50 years later.
Oh, man. The Raiders got that win, but they definitely missed Josh Jacobs as the team rushed 25 times and averaged under 3 yards a carry. More bad news, Gruden said he didn't expect to see Jacobs back this week, so Raider fan is hoping that Devontae Booker will be better against these Colts. On defense, after missing 2 games due to the COVIDs, Clelin Ferrell made his presence felt for the Silver and Black. 2 forced fumbles on Sam Darnold, one of which negated points from the Jets while in Raiders territory, and another led to a field goal for the offense. So he's making plays. And Dave, at the time, many scoffed at the pick of Ferrell up so high. Who's scoffing now, Dave? I don't know. There's probably people scoffing, but it's not the ones that were scoffing at Ferrell, man.
A whole new slew of scoffers.
That's right. But Dave, it's not all rum and eye patches, though. These Raiders gave up over 200 yards on the ground to the Jets, bro.
Unbelievable.
The Jets.
Woo.
So Gunther better get that tightened up, or it's going to be a long day with JT and Hines coming to town, dude.
Yep.
And without that, pulling the rugs out from under the Jets. You see what I did there? The Raiders would have had back-to-back losses to 2 of the NFL bottom feeders, but no one remembers that crap when you win. So, Raiders, it's all out there in front of them. Big game on Sunday, bro.
Huge game, man. Huge game. They definitely escaped one last week, but it's going to be fun. All right, Casey, moving along. Sunday Night Football is another of a slew of huge games this weekend. It is the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are favored at home by 1.5. This point spread moved from the Steelers' favorite over to the Bills, and the over-under is 46.5.
Yeah, an 11-game win streak, Dave, tends to mask your ailments until it doesn't. On Monday, the Steelers rushed for a season-low 21 yards and averaged 1.5 yards per carry. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Dave.
Is that in the first quarter, Casey? Was that their first quarter disaster?
That is the full game. And if you think Mike Tomlin was pissed off, yeah, you're right. He said, if you can't get a yard in our game, you do not deserve to win. Mm-hmm. And, Dave, it's not only the running game of late. In the past 2 games, the Steelers are averaging less than 5 yards a play and less than 3 yards a carry. That's not going to get it done moving forward. And for the second straight week, the Steelers without Marquise Pouncey, who is huge, and James Conner at running back. They should have Conner back for this game, and hopefully that can help get that running game back on track. Mm-hmm. Not helping that lack of the run game where the 7 drops by the Steelers, dude. They have a league-high 31 this season. Guess who's leading the league with 9? My guy, Deontay Johnson. He did have a touchdown, wow, but he had 3 drops on Monday, and Ebron had 2. And Tomlin didn't mince words when talking about that. He said they can catch a ball or they can get replaced by a guy who will catch it. It's just as simple as that. Yeah. So Tomlin doesn't play, but maybe that's what these Steelers need to regain that focus, man. They've been riding this defense and, like I said, hiding that deficiency of a run game to a perfect 11-0. That came crashing down versus one of the lowliest teams in the lowliest divisions in all of football, Dave.
The WFT.
That's right. But little bad news for the Steelers. They lost Bud Dupree 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Now they lost Robert Spillane, who's already in for Devin Bush. So starting to get thin at the linebacker position.
Oh, boy.
You move it to the secondary. Fitzpatrick and Edmonds, maybe the best safety combo in the league. And cornerback Mike Hilton's coming off maybe his best game of the season. He was making plays all over the place on Monday, but they might not have Joe Hayden. That would hurt that secondary a lot. Through week 12, Dave, these Steelers were first in pass defense, allowing just over 190 yards a game, and opponent QBRs healing them to the league worst, 33. Man, that's pretty good stuff. Also, they're the league's most pressure-heavy defense with a blitz rate of over 40%, and they're leading the league with 44 sacks and have recorded at least 2 sacks every game this season, Dave.
Wow.
And they're great on third down, only letting teams convert at 36%. And, yeah, Dave, I'm still bitter about the boys passing on T.J. Watt and his lead leading
yes,
12
you
sacks.
Are.
And since 2017, Watt's accumulated 46 sacks and 16 forced fumbles. But, you know, the Cowboys are pretty good on defense, right? They stop the run. They get after the quarterback.
Cowboys got a taco. They got the hot sauce.
Yeah, and they don't even have the taco anymore.
You can no, they just away slipped away.
Now. You know, but those mounting injuries, dude, and this is the third game in 12 days for the Steelers. They look beat up. They look tired. The good news is they're still 11-1, and they have the tiebreaker with the Chiefs right now. This is a huge game, lousy with playoff implications, Dave.
It is awesome, dude. Let's talk about these Buffalo Bills, though, and how well they've been playing lately, Casey. Last week, coming off that win against San Francisco, Josh Allen on the season, his third season, he's really gotten better each year, but really this year, and with the addition of Stephon Diggs, had a lot to do with that, having that super reliable, explosive weapon. But almost 70% completions for Josh Allen on the season, 26 touchdowns, just 8 picks, so a 105.9 passer rating. And last week he threw for 32 of 40, that's 80% passing, 375, 4 touchdowns, a passer rating of 139.1. So he was on an absolute tear. Stephon Diggs, he's up there. I don't know if he's the leader, but 90 catches, over 1,000 yards. That is, you know, solid performance, and he's a big play guy too. But only 4 touchdowns, interestingly, for Stephon Diggs. Last week, though, 10 grabs, 92 yards. That's the third game this season that he's had 10 grabs. So he is a real go-to guy, and he has been a huge, huge asset to this Buffalo squad. Another guy, though, Casey, that you're familiar with, Cole Beasley.
Beasley!
He has been playing well. 9 catches last week for 130 yards and also a touchdown. So,
did you see the big lineman rock him to sleep after the
I did. That was so touching. It was very nice. And then the other receiver, Gabriel Davis, has been playing well the last 3 or 4 games, really getting involved. And he had a touchdown catch as well last week. Both in terms of points and yardage, this offense is top 10. So they're really getting it done. They're moving the ball down the field. They're capitalizing and getting points. And they're a phenomenal pass offense, 3rd in the league. But the run, not so good, 22nd. And the running backs involved, of course, are Singletary and Zach Moss, the rookie. But Singletary did have 82 scrimmage yards last week. That's not bad. That'll be he had 80-plus yards the week prior. So he's maybe kind of turning the corner there and getting a little bit more going on the ground. That would be really nice heading into the playoffs. On defense, they're a little bit below average in terms of stopping the run. Other than that, they're decent across the board. They've got 19 forced turnovers. That's pretty strong. And they do get after the quarterback with 30 sacks. So that is very helpful. They, you know, that's part of the equation with that defense to sort of make them better than what the regular statistics show them. Micah Hyde, dude, last week, 12 tackles and a pick. Tre'Davious White constantly, you know, getting it done there at the cornerback position. He had a pick the last two games. And both the safeties are absolute tackling machines for this squad, dude. So, it's going to be very, very exciting. They do have, like I said, the weaker running game, so maybe the Steelers look to try and force that run game and get it going a little bit in this one. And we'll see who wins that particular battle.
Oh, man, that's going to be a huge game, dude. And speaking of huge games, Monday night keeps bringing the heat, baby. We got the Baltimore Ravens at the Cleveland Browns. The Ravens are one-point favorites, and the over-under is 45.5. AFC North battle, Dave.
Dude, when was the last time the Ravens were just favored by one against the Brownies, right? It's been a long time. But this is a rematch, Casey, of a week one game. That one was handled by the Ravens 38-6. So obviously this Ravens squad needs to get it turned in the right direction. They did get the big win against Dallas on prime time, but they did lose three in a row before that, and four of the last five. So they were definitely on a downward trend in a big way. And all that COVID madness didn't help at all. Lamar missing the game due to COVID. But on the season, Lamar, you know, his passing numbers haven't really continued to sort of grow as much as people would hope. He's decent, though, over 2,000 yards, et cetera, et cetera. A little under 64%. But you combine that with the running, almost 700 yards rushing on the season, and now you've got, like, the package. And it seems like, Casey, the Cowboys the other night forgot that he's a running quarterback, because it seemed like every time he had a third and eight or something, it was time to just take off with those legs and move the chains.
I guess the VCRs are all broken at the Star in Dallas, because they look like they hadn't seen that team play ever.
I know. I was like, do you not know he doesn't even want to throw it? He's waiting for you to all run back, and then he's going to run right by you.
Yeah, that was bad.
Time after time, moving the chains with his legs. And believe me, when it comes down to, you want to protect him, but when it comes down to a playoff game or a must-win game, he is going to use his legs. And he is going to take over a football game if he has to. His numbers in the last game there, you know, 70% passing, but only 17 passes for 107 yards. But he did throw two touchdowns. He also rushed for almost 100 yards in a TD. So when you add it all together, that's some efficient quarterback play back there from Jackson. So in week one, the game against the Browns, that was his best game of the season in terms of completion. He was 80% in that one. Also, 275 pass yards and three TDs in that game. A 152 rating. So he really, really played well in that one. Top receiver, Mark Andrews, for the season is on IR right now. So that is not a good situation. He has not really exploited Marquise Brown's speed this season as we expected him to do. But Marquise Brown did have five catches for 101 yards in that week one meeting. So who knows if we can get back to that again. Miles Boykin lately has sort of been the guy that's emerged. He's had he had a touchdown catch last week. And maybe he's emerging as another go-to guy in the passing scheme without Andrews on the field. But they are the last in the league in passing yards, which is bad. But they're the number one rushing team. So it is a sort of a one-dimensional team. They would love to get that passing game up there at least around average. Running the football, though, where they are number one, a lot of that is obviously the quarterback. But Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins have been a nice tandem. Gus Edwards, though, had 101 yards last week. Dobbins, though, added on to that 71 yards and a TD. So Dobbins also had two touchdowns the first time these two teams played. So look for all three of those backs to get some looks based on you know, how they did last meeting and how they did last week. Defensively, number eight in the league in total yards and third in points per game. So this Ravens defense still getting it done. They got 28 sacks on the season, and Patrick Queen, the young stud linebacker, had his first pick last week. And in the first meeting, he had eight tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble. So look for Patrick Queen to be a a big part of this game plan as well. Baltimore, though, right now it's 7-5. Man, they need to win some games, and this has got to be one that you so pivotal since it's divisional. But after this, they do have Jacksonville and the Giants and Cincy. So it looks like they could, if they get this one, conceivably run the table and find themselves 11-5 and right there, very, very, very hot. Nobody will want to play this squad. Casey, talk about these Brownies, though, and they certainly got it done last week.
Oh, yeah, dude. You know, since Baker's been in the league, it's been coach after coach, but him and Stefanski are on a mind meld, dude.
Yeah.
Something Baker had been without since he left Oklahoma. And they're blocking for him and running the ball, which really opened up the play action. And that's where Baker truly excels. You mentioned last week, dude, 334 yards, 4 touchdowns, a passer rating of 147. That's pretty damn good. You know what else Baker does good? It's his hard count there. He's drawn opponents offsides on the hard count 11 times this season, man. Those are the hidden yards in the game that really help you out. And know what's helping is juice is finally heating up, dude. Jarvis Landry, his last two games, 16 receptions, over 200 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's going to bless him, my boy. But these Browns are built to run the ball, second in the league, only behind the Ravens, and tried to find a better 1-2 punch than Chubb and Hunt. Guess what? You won't.
No can do.
The Titans held Chubb to his lowest per carry average of the year last week, and that was still 4.4 yards a carry. And the Browns are 7-1 when Chubb plays. He's such a huge part of that offense. And you flip it over the defense. After missing 2 games, the Browns were stoked to get Myles Garrett back, who did have a fourth quarter sack, bringing his total to 10.5. But it was B.J. Goodson and Sheldon Richardson that were really huge last week. Goodson's becoming the emotional leader of this team after kind of being a journeyman on Sunday. 2 huge plays on Tennessee's first drive. He broke up a completion on 3rd-and-1. That set up a 4th down play that Richardson went in there and stuffed out the Kings. And then on the next drive, Richardson forced a King Henry fumble. The Browns cashed in on both of those. That helped them build that 38-7 first half lead that they never looked back on, Dave. But to nitpick, these Browns had a season-high 13 penalties last week versus the Titans, and that let them get a little closer than they would have wanted. But this season, Cleveland also is NFL best 6-0 in games decided by 6 points or less, so maybe they do want to keep it close. But you have to be encouraged on how they shut down King Henry last week.
Yeah.
But these Ravens pose a different type of rushing attack that is just as lethal. And you mentioned, Dave, it was week one. The Ravens stomped these Browns 38-6. But since then, the Browns have gone 7-2 and have won 4 in a row. And to have any chance at catching the Steelers, they need to start by beating these Ravens, just extracting a little revenge with the playoffs in reach. That should be motivation enough. This is the biggest game that the Browns have had in a long-ass time, Dave. And the word out of Cleveland is the factory of sadness is closed on Monday nights, bro. It is time to shake and bake, my brother.
This is going to be a heck of a game. And for both these squads, God, they have to want this one so badly. Divisional. It just doesn't get any better than this. They're right there, and both these teams need this game to get in that playoff positioning.
Oh, it is going to be an epic game. And, Dave, you know what else is epic? This, the Trend Zone, what you're listening to right now. We are available for subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Blueberry, wherever the hell you get your podcast.
Yeah, or just hey, subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Instagram and Facebook, follow us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA. It's all there.
Or if you'd like to kick it old school, go to footballdudes.com.
All right.
That is going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. Dave, I'm Casey. We are out of here.